Say this prayer, meaning it this day, because we need it this day. Please pray with me the prayer on the screen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Listen to the word of the Lord as we continue to read from Mark chapter 3. From the beginning of the gospel, when Jesus comes into the world goes upside down. It is not the resurrection of Jesus that changes the world. It is Jesus in the world that changes the world. The reality of that change comes clearer and clearer with each passing word of the gospel that Peter preached, that Mark writes down. Listen to the word of the Lord as it begins to us from the last part of the 19th verse of chapter 3. So we're at 3:19b, and then on through the end of the chapter. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He's gone out of his mind. He's crazy." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called the scribes to him, and he spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, he's still speaking to the scribes here, truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. The crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." They're coming to restrain him, remember? Come home, Jesus. Time to go inside. Gotten a little bit freaky out here. We need to get you in. And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Spirit, rain down and bless us, Lord, to see you are coming. Strengthen us, Lord, in that love, in that confidence, in that peace. And help us, Lord, to live that out in this terrifying world that surrounds us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
I think I got it, but I don't think I'm on. Nope. Nothing's happening here, Ro. Yeah, I'm getting some. There we go. I think I got sound, but I think you need to pump it up, I bet. Because we want to try and record this well, so let's pump it up if we can. Okay, take the top one, raise the gain at the top of my channel. Okay, well, we're having fun today again. And that kind of works with this, because this is why we don't like family, right? Family is all based in love. It's all based in the idea that we're connected to each other, not by duty, but by some kind of connection that just lasts. And the problem with love as a lasting connection is it stinks. I can't make you do something by love. I can't make you respond to something by love. I can't keep things in order by love. The problem with love is you can always say no. Even when I think no is not an acceptable answer. And so we all move quickly away from love. We move away from love as a way to organize our lives or to understand the world. We move away from it because it doesn't work fast enough for us. We move away from it because we get frustrated. We move away from it because we become afraid. This whole passage begins and ends with family. It's bookends around the central piece. But the bookends and the central piece all work of a piece. And the functional problem is, what is family? For most of us, if we're honest, family is obligation. On Mother's Day, what do you have to do? Not what do you want to do, not what do you think about doing. What do you have to do? Yeah, well, you know, there you go. Yeah, it's joy if it's a Sunday, that's right for that. But you can do that out of obligation too. And how many of us do that? You're jumping ahead of me. Stop that. Let me lay it out one piece at a time. You're three pieces ahead of me again, Mama B. We call out of obligation because it is a way in which we say we're connected. And if you are blessed to be on the other end of that call, you believe in the obligation, right? They should call me. I really want them to call me. And if they won't call me because they want to, then should is better than not. Because not would mean I was disconnected. Even if in reality you are disconnected. For too many of us, family becomes an outer scale that covers something much less solid. It covers something that is actually empty. It's the great lesson that I learned from my life early on. When you grow up in a house of great dysfunction, you learn when the door opens, everybody looks and they see the perfect family. We're all okay. We all love one another. Yes, Mom, you're Harriet. Yes, Dad, you're Ozzy. And we solve all of our problems in 22 minutes with commercials and everybody's happy. When Ozzy was actually an alcoholic, raised three children to become alcoholics, all of whom died before they were my age now. But of course, that doesn't fit behind the picket fence. And so we use family as a way to hide. And the hiding is always from bad, hard work. The reason why love is so hard is it always leads us here. It always leads us to a place of absolute vulnerability. It leads us to a place where we have to face things we don't want to face, see things we don't want to see, hear things we're not prepared to hear, do things we're not prepared to do. And it does it, though, always saying, you can always say no. Well, who's going to say yes to this? Every day? Maybe Sunday. Yes, Sunday. No, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yes, Sunday. No, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But you can't do that. You can't do yes and no. Jesus is charging out of a world that is built on power and control, the world that you and I enjoy living in. Because in a world of power and control, I have places to hide. If I'm in a place where I can say, you are obligated to love me, you are obligated to do this to me, you are obligated to do that to me, the world has order, it has sense to it. I will get something of what I need, even if I don't get a very good version of it. At least I get something. And something beats nothing. So we settle for the something we can get. Every child who ever plays, watch TJ, watch anybody 5, 6, 7 years old play. And what you see is a version of life that is joyful, a life that is lived as me, in all of my beautiful, ugly, crazy, sensible, not sensible, meanness. And every one of those children is sent out into a world that will systematically tear that world apart and bring them to a place that they will settle for doing a job, having something to do, calling that fulfilling, sitting down into obligation, and never finding out who they are. And we wonder why we're unhappy. Jesus is charging out of that world. He is leading a way out of that world. And the family that surrounds him looks at him and says, the crowd is right, you're crazy. You can't live that way. It's not possible to live by the love of God alone. It is not possible to walk out into this world and just be you. That's why we end up crushing and remaking and molding our children, right? Because you can't go out, kid, and make money drawing with crayons. It would be nice if you could, but it doesn't exist. That job isn't there. I'm sorry, you're going to have to find another way. Come to put Jesus back in the box. Come home, be sensible. This is embarrassing. And what is actually also being said? If you've ever been the parent with a kid who says something out in the middle of nowhere, or does something out in the middle of nowhere, I don't want to do it, Lord. I think that would be mean to him, but I can't do that. I'm not going to use an illustration on my children again. That's not fair. but I've been there. And the place, when you're there, you're not thinking about them at all. You say you are, but you're not. What you're really thinking is, you are embarrassing me. Stop it. They come to collect Jesus because they are ashamed that the world is ashamed of Jesus. They believe in the destructive power of the world more than they believe in the constructive power of the love that Jesus preaches. And it's why, for Mark, there is an easy segue into the people who are confronting Jesus, the scribes who come as the journalists reporting back to the higher authorities in Jerusalem. And the scribes say, no, he's not crazy. No, this isn't his fault. Jesus is innocent. It's not, you don't need to be ashamed of Jesus because you're genetically tied to him. You don't need to be ashamed of Jesus because you think there's something wrong with Jesus. There's something wrong with the world. There is this evil power in the world, and Jesus is the manifestation of it. So Jesus is not a bad guy. There's just evil in the world, and Jesus is the manifestation of that evil. The one who comes preaching love is the enemy. There is no way to avoid this, so if this ticks you off, I'm sorry. The great danger of this time in our life as a people is that our political discourse is increasingly becoming the discourse of the scribes. Where the voice that says, connect to one person, connect to another, the voice of love is identified as the voice of evil. Where compromise, which ties us together and keeps us whole, is actually a satanic thing. And that what is good in the world is actually to stand with your sword with the most blood upon it, upon a pile of corpses, and say, I have prevailed. And by whatever power you preach that, by whatever power it has been done, and it has been preached from every angle and every way. To call the creative force of God at work in the world evil is to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. To not be able to tell the difference between the power that ties people together and the power that tears people apart, and to ally your life with the power that tears people apart, is to blaspheme against the God who exists in the center of this creation. And the judgment is exactly as John says judgment is. It cannot be forgiven because it will never ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness is compromise, isn't it? Forgiveness is surrender. Forgiveness is vulnerability. Forgiveness is not being right. That's why blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable, because the person who does it will never ask for forgiveness. They will never surrender. How many of us have watched families torn apart by somebody who has to be right? Too many of us in this room could raise our hand if I wanted to out you and say how many of you have torn your family apart because you had to be right. My hand would be up. Done it. But it's evil. It's not good. I am not confused about what is good and what is evil. Does not mean I can always do the good. I wish it did mean I could always do the good, but I am not confused about which one is which. Too many of us, brothers and sisters, live for 50 years inside marriages that we have allowed to become simply something that is on paper that has to do with a will. Joint tenants with rights of survivorship. And we call it good, and it's not good. We call it love, and it's not love. Too many of us show up every Sunday, check the box, do what it is that is expected of us, that we think is expected of us, and call it good. And it's not good. The family shows up and says, with all of their power, Jesus, you're coming with us. You're leaving now. In the ancient world, this worked. In our world, where all this power has actually fallen apart in about three generations. It's hard for us to conceive of the fact, but actually, that substantial social power, you're coming with us. You're leaving now. There's no question. They don't go and say, Jesus, are you okay? Do you want to come with us? They come and they say, Jesus, you're leaving. It is time for you to go now. And Jesus says, you're not my family. The obligations that you are calling good, they are not good. You are not connected to me. You are connected to your pride, and I am ashamed. Who are my brothers and sisters, he says. These are my brothers and sisters, the ones who are walking out of this world with me, the ones who are doing the will of God with me, the ones who are trying to love. No relationship that you have that is based in fear is a real relationship. Can't be. John says there is no fear in love. God's perfect love casts out fear. Fear and love are opposites. And the depth of fear is not simply hate. Actually, the deepest fear is indifference. The deepest fear is despair, where you surrender entirely to the power of fear and you say there is nothing we can do. As this election cycle continues, and as we watch and as we hear, and you know what you are hearing what I'm hearing, you are watching what I am watching. We are watching the birth of a great evil in this democracy. And the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. If the time comes when the President of the United States is elected because of the people he hates or she hates, then this democracy is doomed. It's doomed for its own crucifixion, and it will rise in its own resurrection. But we will have to walk through both. This city will not rise in newness of life until the time comes when those who live north of the Trinity are not afraid of those who live south of the Trinity. Where the content of one's character actually does determine who one is in this world. What will you do? Who will you be? Who is your family? I had a wonderful interaction with a brother in the Lord. Gave me some sage advice, and I think it's simply true for every kind of relationship, every family relationship. He said to me, we've been married a long time now, and he says, we have gone through 4 marriages. We've been married, divorced, remarried 4 times. And what he meant by it was, we came to a place where what we were no longer worked and it fell apart. And we came back together and we said, we are going to stay together and we're going to become something different. And they became something different and their marriage became something different. And then that lasted for a while and then that too fell apart. And then they came back together and they said, we are going to become something different. We're going to walk together and our marriage is not an idol. The paper is not the idol. The paper does not tell us that we are married. What tells us we are married is that we are connected to one another. It is the love that tells us. Amen. And that's hard. And it hurts. And it means I'm wrong. And I have to change. We in this congregation have a responsibility all the way down the line to our own individual relationships and beyond those individual family relationships to do the will of God. And the blessing of what you see as you look around this place is you have an ample field to do it, and it's going to be hard. You're white, you have to accept the fact that there is pain that has been inflicted by those who went before you, and there is pain that is inflicted by the fact that you have the gifts you have. Because others were not given them, not because they did not deserve them, but because they did not have them. People with no bootstraps cannot pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. And having bootstraps themselves says something about who you are. It is the responsibility of the powerful to bow. It is the responsibility of the haughty to hit their knees. It is the responsibility of the one who has power to relinquish power in love. And in the same way, it is the responsibility of the powerless to relinquish their right. It is the responsibility of the powerless to open their heart to yet another possibility of hurt and failure and pain. To embrace a cross that is all too familiar. And every relationship that exists across any line, any division, gender, race, class, exists because those who enter into it pick up their cross. You are not part of the family of God because your name is on a roll at OCPC. You are not a part of the family of God because you're sitting here and you showed up before I started talking. you are not a part of the family of God, because somewhere back there in 1958, 68, 78, 88, you hit the floor and said, Jesus, you are my Savior that once, that one day. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Not then, now. Now is the day to love. And if your vows have changed because your circumstances have changed, now is the day to take your vows again. But it's not the same. No, it's not the same. Jesus didn't guarantee you you'd stay the same yesterday, today, and forever. Only Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are going to change. You are going to die. You're going to rise. You're going to move. Are you going to hold on to that person? Are you going to call your mother? Because Jesus Christ loves your mother, no matter what your mother did or didn't do. Or your father. Too many of us have way more father wounds than mother wounds, I know that. What will you do? Whose family are you? If Jesus Christ is family to you, do the will of God. Dallas Morning News had a blurb that they put in, and it is balm to the Anglo soul, to say that on Martin Luther King Day, people get together and they sit down and they eat one meal a year and talk to each other across the boundaries of race. And that is as false a form of reconciliation as any false form can be. The reality of real reconciliation is, will I talk to you every day? Can I see you in every circumstance as my brother, as my sister? Can I see the need and see it for what it is and see my responsibility to be able to meet it? And will I accept, no matter where I start on this merry-go-round, that my job is to connect myself to the other? Lots of people read Matthew 3 and they get afraid of what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Did I blaspheme the Holy Spirit by saying the Holy Spirit in a mean way? Did I blaspheme the Holy Spirit by crossing my fingers twice on a Sunday? Did I blaspheme the Holy Spirit by doing this, doing that? The reality of this is a much deeper problem. The real question is, who is Lord of your life? And if you're going to call the Holy Spirit and that love that binds you to another person a positive evil to you, destructive to you, beware. Because the chasms that you are building there cannot be closed. Build bridges. Even if everyone around you is burning them down, build bridges anyway. Whose family are you? Let's pray. Lord, bless us in this time where evil masquerades as good, and where good is seen as impotent. Bless us in this time where everything that we value disappears between our fingers, and we think, Lord, because we love you, we are left with nothing. Bless us, Lord, if we are at 52-card pickup in our lives, wherever that may be, economically, socially, emotionally, in family, in marriage, in love, in life. Bless us, Lord, to see that you will not fail us, you will not forsake us. Lo, you are with us always to the end of the age. Give us courage and strength to say, you are my Abba, you are my family. And Lord, because you love me, I can love anybody. And that love does not mean I'm nice to them for 15 minutes as I run out of the sanctuary. It means I see them as my brother, my sister, my family. That their hurts are my hurts. Their joys are my joys. And my joys and hurts are theirs as well. Bless us, Lord, to be that family in this place, to be that church, knowing, Lord, that that is really hard. And everything in us makes us want to run away from it. Bless us, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us in